It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbrand. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
That's one of the hardest things for people to understand, because to some people it just doesn't seem fair. And I could see where they're coming from with that. I'm paying child support, but my ex-husband, ex-wife isn't allowing me to see my child. Unfortunately, those are two separate issues. So if you have custody and you're not getting paid child support, you still have to send the child on their visitations, and vice versa. If you're paying child support but not being allowed to see your child, you still need to continue to pay child support.
Private attorney Sara Teal explains child support, how it gets set, how it gets modified, and how it gets collected. And during this week's question and answer session, we discuss Virginia's living will statute and why everyone, married or unmarried, gay or straight, is entitled to use its protections. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 56, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. After coming under increasing fire for bias toward major credit card companies, the nation's largest arbitration firm involved in adjudicating delinquent credit card debt has agreed to pull out of the business. The settlement with the National Arbitration Forum, or NAF, came after the Minnesota Attorney General sued the firm for consumer fraud, deceptive trade practices, and false advertising. The lawsuit alleged conflicting ties between the NAF and debt collection law firms that represented major credit card companies. Under the terms of the consent decree, NAF will stop accepting new consumer arbitrations of any sort. These include arbitrations over disputed credit card debt, as well as consumer debts in healthcare, telecommunications, utilities, mortgages, and consumer leases. Since the beginning of the decade, most credit card companies have included mandatory arbitration clauses in credit card contracts, forcing consumers to arbitrate rather than use the courts. But only a small fraction of credit card debtors win cases against creditors through the NAF. In other news, according to a recently released FBI investigation titled 2008 Mortgage Fraud Year in Review, Virginia ranks among the top 20 states in mortgage fraud cases. Mortgage fraud is a material misstatement, misrepresentation, or omission relied upon by a lender to fund, purchase, or insure a loan. Mortgage fraud is divided into two categories, fraud for property and fraud for profit. Fraud for property is a misrepresentation by an applicant to buy a property for a primary residence and usually involves a single loan. Fraud for profit often involves multiple loans and elaborate schemes to gain illegal proceeds from property sales. Gross misrepresentations about appraisals and loan documents are common in fraud for profit schemes, and participants frequently are paid for their participation. Suspicious activity reports from financial institutions indicate an increase in mortgage fraud, with almost 64,000 reports filed in 2008, a 36% increase from the prior year. More than 70,000 reports are expected this year. The full report is available at fbi.gov/publications.htm. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is legal separation. In Virginia, there is no law requiring you to file papers or go to court in order to separate from your spouse. Separation is simply not living with your spouse. There is a type of divorce called a partial divorce, or a divorce from bed and board. But even that is not called a legal separation. And you don't need a partial divorce to live separate and apart from your spouse. When you are no longer living with your spouse, you are considered legally separated. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and legal separation is this week's legal term of the week.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Janet, and I'm from Richmond.
Welcome to the show, Janet. What question do you have for us this week?
Well, I recently moved to Virginia, and I'm concerned about a living will and whether it would be enforceable for lesbian and gay couples.
Well, that's a good question, and fortunately, the answer in Virginia would be yes. And I say that notwithstanding the constitutional amendment that passed in 2000 and I believe it was 7 or 8 that says that couples that are gay and lesbian can't have any benefit of the laws that otherwise go to married heterosexual couples. Well, fortunately, the laws in Virginia dealing with living wills don't apply exclusively to married heterosexual couples. Basically, you can name any competent adult, 18 years of age or older, as your agent in a living will. It can be your spouse, it can be your gay and lesbian partner, it can be an adult child, it can be a close and trusted friend. The most important thing is that it be somebody who, you know, is close and who is trusted and who is likely to know your wishes. Let me just distinguish the two kinds of advance directives that there are. One is the living will that you referred to, and that's sometimes called a natural death declaration. And the other is a durable power of attorney for health care, and sometimes that's called a medical power of attorney. Now, there are important similarities and differences of these two things. For both of these documents, you have to be 18 or older, you have to be mentally competent, and you should sign it and date it in front of two people to whom you are not related by blood or marriage, and people who have no interest in your estate. So, for example, I wouldn't sign it and date it in front of a lesbian partner or a gay partner simply because they do have an interest in your estate, but it can be some friend. Then you make sure that your living will or your medical power of attorney is in your medical records. Otherwise, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. The living will, though, is effective only if your doctor says in writing that you have a terminal condition. And basically, that allows you to say in advance what you want done in that situation, whether you want your life prolonged or whether you want to be allowed to die naturally. The medical power of attorney is slightly different. That does not require that your condition be terminal before it's effective. Rather, it's effective when you are, quote, incapable of making an informed decision. That means you have an impairment that prevents communication or impairs your judgment. And again, your doctor, and in fact a second doctor or a licensed clinical psychologist, have to diagnose that and say in writing that that's the case after a personal examination. What the medical power of attorney does is it appoints someone to make those decisions for you, whether you should have the surgery or not, whether you should undergo this course of treatment or not, because you're not capable of making that decision. As soon as you're capable of making that decision, it's back in your hands. And both of these documents can be revoked by you, the person making it, at any time. But fortunately, you can name anyone. Name your gay or lesbian partner. It doesn't matter. Virginia is going to honor that. Is that somewhat reassuring to you?
Oh, it is definitely reassuring to me. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Very interesting question. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the offices of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we're talking with Sarah Teal. She is formerly an attorney with the Virginia Poverty Law Center, also formerly an attorney with Central Virginia Legal Aid Society in our Petersburg office, and now in private practice in Midlothian, Virginia. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks, Marty.
We're going to be talking today about child support, and let's talk first about who has a duty to pay child support.
Marty, typically the person who has to pay child support is the person who does not have the child living with them.
And how is child support set?
Well, child support can be set in two different ways. The first is by filing a petition with the court, and the second is through, or they can file a petition with the Department of Child Support Enforcement.
Okay, let's talk about the court way first. What would somebody do to get child support through the court system?
Well, first they're going to want to make sure that they have an order of custody. And from there, they can either do it at the same time or they can do one separately. But they're going to want to make an appointment with the court service unit at the juvenile court. And then a hearing date will be set and the judge will determine child support.
Okay. And what should someone bring with them when they go to either the court services unit to file the petition or they go to court for their hearing in front of the judge?
Well, when you're going to go file the petition, you want to make sure that you have the address of the person that you're trying to get child support from, because the court is going to have to serve that person with the papers that you're trying to get child support. When you're going to court for the actual hearing, you're going to want to bring any kind of proof of income, what your income is. If you happen to have proof of income for the person you're trying to get child support from, that would be great to bring too, like a check stub or a letter from your boss telling the court how much you make.
Okay. Now, going through the Division of Child Support Enforcement to set child support, how is that started by someone who is seeking their help?
You want to make an appointment with the Department of Child Support Enforcement, and you'll file a petition the same way you would through the court. It's just a slightly different. It's an administrative petition as opposed to a court petition.
And is there some sort of a hearing before the Division of Child Support Enforcement like there is before a judge, or do they handle it in a different manner?
With the Division of Child Support Enforcement, or DCSE, it's handled more internally. There isn't a full hearing, but some of the same principles still apply. They will still serve the other person with the paperwork, give them a chance to come in and show what their income is. And again, you're going to have to show what your income is because that's part of how child support is determined.
Okay, so let's go into exactly how child support is determined, whether it's determined by a judge in a juvenile and domestic relations court or whether it's determined administratively by the Division of Child Support Enforcement. How is it determined? I gather it depends a lot on the party's income.
It does. It depends on a couple of different things. One is obviously the most important, what are the two parties' incomes? But the other thing is that's really important is also who does the child live with and how long do they live with that person? Do the parties have shared custody or does one party have sole custody? That helps determine child support as well. From there, based on those two things, the judge will or DCSE will, it's the formula. They put in the numbers and it spits out the number of what child support is, and it's based on the ratio between the incomes, and then there's one calculation for if you have shared custody and one calculation if you have sole custody.
Sounds fairly complicated. Are these forms basically available to the public, say on a website somewhere?
They are. They're usually on the court's website. I'm sure they're also on the Virginia Legal Aid website. And the court will have them in front of them. DCSE will have them in front of you. It's also laid out in the Virginia statute. So anybody who needs to can go and see how it is that it's calculated.
Now, what if a party doesn't have custody of a child and they're not allowed to visit the child? Do they still have to pay child support?
They do. That's one of the hardest things for people to understand because to some people it just doesn't seem fair. And I could see where they're coming from with that. I'm paying child support, but my ex-husband, ex-wife isn't allowing me to see my child. Unfortunately, those are two separate issues. So if you have custody and you're not getting paid child support, you still have to send the child on their visitations and vice versa. If you're paying child support but not being allowed to see your child, you still need to continue to pay child support.
And so if someone can't visit the child, the remedy is basically to seek some sort of visitation enforcement, and similarly, if you're not getting support, your remedy is to seek some sort of enforcement of support.
Right, which you file is what's called a show cause. You go into the court, you tell them that you need to file a show cause based on whichever order you have. If it's through DCSE, you want to talk to DCSE about enforcing your rights when it comes to child support.
Well, once it's set, can child support be changed?
It can, but it's a little bit more difficult to change child support once it's been set. What you have to show is that there's been a material change of circumstances. And that doesn't just mean something happened. It's a material change. It's a big change.
Okay. Well, of course, these days, there are a lot of big changes happening. I mean, there are people who are losing their jobs. They are getting reduced hours at work. They may have huge medical bills. They may face foreclosure of their home or something like that. If someone can't pay their child support, what should they do?
Well, if they can't pay their child support and it's looking like they're not going to be able to pay their child support for a while, what they want to do is file what's called a motion to amend with the court. With DCSE, you go in and you file the equivalent form. And basically, that's just, and then in your motion to amend, you lay out what your circumstances are that are, what you're alleging is your material change of circumstances.
And when should you do that?
As soon as you know that you can't pay, and you know that you're not going to be able to pay for a while.
And, well, what happens if you don't do that right away? Let's say you wait a couple of months. Can the support be changed for the months that you had the problem?
No, it's not retroactively. And that's something that's really important and that a lot of people don't realize is that immediately, as soon as you haven't made that first payment, it's a judgment automatically. And you automatically owe that last month, even if it was that you lost your job. So you could change it going forward, but not going backwards.
Well, can the unpaid child support ever be dealt with, let's say, through a bankruptcy?
No. It's one of those things that is not able to be discharged through bankruptcy, so you will always owe child support. And the idea behind that is this is your child. This is not something you can get rid of. And so you have a duty to continue to help support your child.
And do people take that duty seriously? I mean, people have lots of different obligations, whether it's, you know, mortgage or car payment or child support. How does payment of child support rank in terms of people's willingness to fulfill that legal duty?
You know, in my experience at Legal Aid, I found that it ranked really highly. People do seem to realize how important their children are, even when it is only seeing visitation. Now, the flip side of that is if they're not getting to see their child when they're supposed to be, they are less likely to pay child support.
Well, now, what if someone doesn't want child support for their child? I mean, they just don't want to have anything to do with the other parent. Can they just decide, I don't want to seek child support. I'm going to raise this child on my own. I'm not going to seek anything from the other parent at all.
Sure. They can decide that. They can choose not to request child support. That doesn't mean, though, that that other parent's duty to support that child goes away. So right now, an example of mom and dad who have a four-year-old child and are separating, mom decides, I don't want to seek child support from dad. I've had enough with dad. I want to leave dad out of the picture. Well, child turns 15 and she suddenly decides she wants to seek child support. She can then go back and try to seek child support starting when that child is 15.
But you couldn't go back and seek child support for the prior 11 years when he had a duty to pay, but she wasn't seeking the support?
It's my understanding that she can't, but the one thing that is important to realize is that child support starts calculating from the date that the petition is filed, which means that every order of child support starts out with an arrearage or money that's owed for past months. So if I were to file a child support petition in September, but I don't get heard in the court until December, the other person that I'm seeking child support from still owes child support from September, October, and November.
Okay. Well, what if someone doesn't want to pay child support and they want to just terminate or end their parental rights to get out of the duty? Is that going to be allowed?
No. The only time somebody's parental rights are going to be terminated is if the child has been adopted, mom has gotten remarried, and stepfather wants to adopt the child, and the natural father agrees, or if there's been some kind of abuse and neglect situation where the court has deemed that it's now necessary to terminate that person's parental rights.
We have been talking with Sarah Teal, formerly from the Virginia Poverty Law Center and formerly of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society in our Petersburg office and now in private practice in Midlothian, about child support. Thank you very much, Sarah, for being on the show.
Thanks, Marty. I had a good time.
We're back with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Danielle, and I'm from Richmond.
Thanks for being on the show. What's your question for us this week?
My question is, how do I go about obtaining child support from my child's father if he doesn't work?
Now, you said he has no job right now. Do you think he's capable of working?
Yes.
But at this point, he simply chooses not to.
Correct.
Well, that's not really a choice he has. And in fact, I have to say that not petitioning for child support is not really a choice that you have. It takes two parents to bring a child into the world. It takes two parents to support a child. The child is owed child support, and you as a mom have a duty to pursue that on behalf of your daughter. So, you know, I urge you to pursue one of these two things. You will get a child support order. There's no question about that. Now, enforcing that order is another thing, but there's a mechanism for doing that as well. If he doesn't pay the child support as ordered, either by DCSE or by the court, then you can go back to DCSE or back to the court, usually if he's behind a month or two or 3 months, and file what's called a motion for show cause summons. And he will be summoned into court to show cause or show a reason why he has not paid child support. And if he is able-bodied and just chooses not to work, the court may give him a chance or two to get a job or do a job search and start paying his child support. But ultimately, he could be jailed. And no one wants to see that happen, but no one wants to see a child go without either. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about enforcing a juvenile and domestic relations, or J&DR, court order. The first tip is that if a J&DR court order, such as a protective order or an order for child custody, child visitation, child support, or spousal support is not being obeyed, you may ask for it to be enforced. The second tip is that unless the prior court order is being disobeyed in some serious or important manner, the court will not seriously consider enforcing it. The third tip is that if the prior court order is not being obeyed, you would file a motion for show cause summons. You file this with the court that issued the last order. For Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips about enforcing a J&DR court order.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Virginians give more than $7 million a day to non-religious charities, but do you know how your charitable gifts are being used? Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when our guest, Michael Wright, manager of the Regulatory Programs Unit at the Virginia Office of Consumer Affairs, discusses regulation of charities and what information you need before you decide to donate. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbrand.